Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
We have jammed a lot into 2 hours. I mean, we still got 2 hours left on the Hockman and Crowder show. Welcome into the 4 o'clock hour. Who thought we'd be talking Spurs during our show, Crowder?
Nobody.
Thank God, Hawk is off. He was good.
Yeah.
He was good.
Yeah, old Jacob.
Yeah. You called him Jay the entire interview. Don't think I didn't notice. I noticed.
He's trying to be chummy.
That's his name. I'm going to give people nicknames. That's what I do.
That's not a nickname. You forgot if it was Jacob or Josh, or you just didn't remember, and you called him
Jacob,
Jay.
Jacob Toby.
I think he called him Jake, too, before his first question.
Big Jake.
Big dog. I love listening to Crowder drop a big dog in the middle of an interview. Oh my God.
Bro, I like when I go broski. That's my favorite. I don't know who the hell this person is. Broski. So you're telling me that. Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah, broski's good too.
my favorite is when Solana's like serious and trying to make it a point, and he drops a brother. When he drops a brother on you in an argument, that's when you know Solana's serious about what he's talking about.
Brother, I mean, listen. You know, people don't like that, though. Like, I hit at the gym the other day. I hit an older gentleman with a yo. But, I mean, we're at the gym, and I was letting him know, like, yo, I'm done with this machine. And he's like, don't yo me. And I was like, what? Like,
he saw pie.
Huh. Nah, he didn't. Because he's like, oh, my bad. You know, I just meant that I was done with the machine. And he backtracked real quick.
Hey, brother, I'm just being nice to you. All right, brother?
Brother, what's wrong with a yo? What's wrong with a little yo-ski?
Who are you, Hulk Hogan? Brother. I mean, well, you're very much like Hulk Hogan.
The thing is, I take too much pre-workout, Crowder. So the pump is a different form of Solana.
I don't think supplements. I used to believe in supplements till I met you. Yeah. Appel, he takes pre-workout. He drinks whey protein all day, and look at his body.
I used to believe in gum health, virtue of brushing teeth, until I met you. But you brush your teeth 2 times a day. You got fake teeth in, but your teeth still fall out. So
it's called poxy. I don't have the good poxy. I cut corners on my poxy.
Let's do headlines here as we continue on the 4 o'clock hour. I guess we could start with the big news today. By the way, headlines are brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose from over 1,300 new Hyundai models in inventory like the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. The big news today, I guess, is that the AFC East looks a little different. And we talked about it in the 2 o'clock hour, and we'll get into it a little bit more on the other side during Game Day Uncensored. But, man, the Jets add Devontae Adams, and the Bills answer right back 2 hours later, adding Amari Cooper right now. I don't know, did anything yesterday, Crowder? The game's played in New York, and the Bills are without James Cook. Did anything suggest to you in that game that the Jets, despite the score being close, are close to being better than Buffalo? Like, did either of you come out of that game feeling that way?
I don't know how Josh feels, but I didn't. Like, Buffalo is they're winning. They're at the top of the AFC East, but I think they're underachieving with having a, you know, MVP quarterback with Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. You see why they are who they are. I think the Bills are, you know, I don't say a normal team, but they're above average. I thought they would be a lot better than that. Adding Amari Cooper, they lost Stephon Diggs. But to a bigger point, honestly, with the AFC, get out of the East. I know we're Dolphin, you know, Dolphin fans, and we cover the Dolphins. the Chargers are supposed to be good and they're okay. The AFC North, Cincinnati's not what we thought it was. The Browns are terrible. Steelers, okay.
Can we get to something about the Steelers in a little bit? I was going to wait till Solana left, but there's a lot of talk today that they're going to go to Russell Wilson this week. And for the life of me, I can't understand that. We could put a pin in that, but you brought the Steelers up and that blows my mind.
It's just like, because I always said this whole offseason, I was like, this AFC is stacked. And I brought up the Chargers. I brought up the Bengals. I brought up, you know, the Steelers being what they are. I brought up, I think Houston is legit. Houston can play ball. But I think that the Bills, especially with the Amari Cooper trade, they're looking around and they're saying this AFC is not impenetrable. This AFC is very gettable. We got to beat the Chiefs and the Ravens. So I don't think there's a team. I think the Bills right now are saying, you know what? Let's go get some pieces to beat the Texans, and we got to see the Ravens and the Chiefs in the playoffs, because I thought this AFC was going to be a lot more top-heavy than it is right now. I don't think the Jets have gotten that much better. I don't believe in A-Rod. Hope he proved me wrong, and it'll be good, a great story. But I think the Bills especially and the Jets saw the AFC, how it's panning out, and saying, you know what? Let us go add a piece and see if we can compete in this AFC, because it's not as strong.
And they were already good without Amari Cooper. They were getting by with Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir and Curtis Samuel and Valdez Scantling and the two tight ends. Like, James Cook's really broken out this year. Now you add Amari Cooper to that, and that's a whole new weapon for Joe Brady, who I think has been fantastic calling that offense this year. Obviously, Josh Allen makes it look better. But the Jets last night, they're supposed to be known for their defense, right? And no James Cook. And Ray Davis, this rookie running back, goes for well over 100 all-purpose yards yesterday, making acrobatic catches downfield. He's running all over Quinnen Williams and this Jets front. Like, the Jets, I said it to you guys before the season. I know a lot of us were on the same page. But all the hype around, you got to see it in practice with them, in practice meaning in games. Like, you got to see it for yourself. Yeah. This was always, the Jets always jet. I can't explain it, but the Jets always jet. If it's not one thing, it's another thing. And while this is great, this Davante Adams move on paper, I'm really curious, like I said earlier, to see how that all meshes with the personalities they already have on that offense. Is this just going to be, you know, Aaron Rodgers and his buddies, or is Garrett Wilson still going to be a big part of this, right? Like, that's the dynamic that I'm really, really interested to see with how this works. And, you know, obviously they're all win now for this season. Todd Downing called plays last night. Nathaniel Hackett no longer calling plays. I wonder how long, you know, they looked pretty decent last night. They were able to move the ball for the most part, but I wonder how long that's going to last, because Todd Downing's last tenure as an offensive coordinator in Tennessee did not end well. So I'm just curious to see how this all transpires for them as the season goes forward.
By the way, that report Appel was talking about, Steelers plan to give Russell Wilson first team reps in practice this week with his calf fully healed, per Tom Pelissero. And then I saw that he said he could be in line to start Sunday Night Football against the New York Jets. You want to talk about the Jets jetting? It would be the Steelers starting Russell Wilson for the first time this season, beating them after they trade for Davante Adams.
I'm rooting for that.
I don't like splitting reps at quarterback, especially with a 44-year-old Russell Wilson and a young athletic Justin Fields. I'm not a fan of what Mike Tomlin. I love Mike Tomlin. Y'all know Mike Tomlin's actually a friend of mine. I'll do a brag. Hell, Josh can talk about Mike White all the time. I can talk about Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
Mike is my friend. I don't like the decision they're making with splitting reps.
Yeah, well, I can talk about Tommy Teig being my friend. So how about that?
You beat us with that one. I wish Tommy Teig was my friend.
Tommy doesn't like Solana.
He doesn't. It's a good point. But friendship really is a one-way avenue, if we're being 100% honest. So he's my friend. I'm not his, like, I may not be his friend, but he's my friend. Hey, but Crowder, I'm with you, by the way, being serious. I don't like the two quarterback system. Like, I'm with you. But wouldn't it be silly if Justin Fields has looked, let's be honest, bro, mid.
He's looked mid. I'm gonna push back on this. I have data here to tell you that you're wrong about it.
I don't believe in data.
You ready for this? Mm-hmm. Justin Fields has a higher EPA per play, a higher success rate, and a higher completion percentage over expected than C.J. Stroud. He's got a better football focus grade than Dak Prescott and Sam Darnold. And they've only lost to the Colts in a game that Fields had 360 yards of offense, and against the Cowboys when they lost on literally the last play. There is no scenario where this decision makes sense, unless some people are connecting some dots. Russell Wilson, when he first was brought in, was brought in under some precondition that he would play when he was healthy, number one. And number two, there's some scuttlebutt that he might have some relationship with one of the minority owners that might be pulling some strings here.
Yeah, it's a lot of their scuttlebutt.
Scuttlebutt. Well, I didn't know there was scuttlebutt, Crowder. I mean, oh, man, there's scuttlebutt.
Hey, listen, my scuttlebutt earlier was proven right like 30 seconds later, so you better respect my scuttlebutt.
You know what I have to say?
Scuttlebutt today, Josh.
You know what I have to say about all those EPA stats? A bunch of scuttle ass. That's what I have to say. No, look, I get it, though, because the numbers do suggest that he's played well, and that's fine. But I'm looking at – I'm watching the games, right? And I'm saying, man, they don't have confidence in him to make a big play. They're just hoping that, okay, third and short, let's not turn the ball over, and let's try to get two blockers out in front of Justin Fields, and we'll have him run for the first down. And if not, they're just punting the ball away, and T.J. Watt is making play after play after play, putting them in good positions to go score the football on a short field situation. So, like, I'm just saying it would be silly if you have Russell Wilson, he's healthy, and Justin Fields hasn't wowed you, and you don't even give him a chance. Right? Like, wouldn't Mike Tomlin look back at the end of the season and kind of second-guess that decision? From the standpoint of, we've had him the whole year, and Justin Fields hasn't blown us away to the point where we're saying he's our franchise quarterback.
But Russ wasn't good in Denver last year. Russ got benched for who?
Well, no, but he got benched.
Benched Russ for Kyle Trask or something. I don't even know the white boy's
Jared
Stidham,
name. I think.
It was Jared Stidham. But I'm not even defending Russell Wilson. I don't think he's good, so I'm not defending him. But when he got benched last year, they were on a winning streak. They benched him because the Broncos wanted to jump ship and they wanted to tank. That's why they benched him. So it wasn't because he was bad. They benched him because he started playing well.
He wasn't balling, but – to your point, and they run a lot of quarterback sweeps, and they let the athleticism of Justin Fields show. But now you're running a wide open four wide offense with Russell half the practice. Then you're coming back the other half of the practice and running the pulling guard power game. And Solana, you hit it on the head. Yeah, let's get to third and short. That's what they did, and that's how they're winning games. The Steelers are winning games. Four on the first down, three on second down, third and three, get 3.5. Four on first down, six on second down. Oh, they got a first down already. That's the game plan they're running now. But now you get Russell, and now you're splitting that stuff. Will George Pickens have better games with Russ? Yes. Will they have better, you know, better passing yards, better passing numbers? Yes. But is that the style they want to win? And now is Russ taking over, or is Justin taking over? I'm not a fan of dual quarterback systems. I'm not a fan. I talked about even at damn Florida with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow. I didn't like it. Chris Leak won the 06 championship. Tim Tebow got a couple first downs in crucial times. That's how it's set up.
Well, I was just about to say, Crowder didn't like the Chris Leak, Tim Tebow dual quarterback that won the national championship.
Chris Leak won that damn championship, and everybody will talk about Tebow's ass because he's godly and he didn't have sex until he was married. I don't care if he had sex when he was married. He didn't win this 06 championship. He won the 08 championship, Josh.
Dallas Baker, the touchdown maker.
I talked to DB the other day. That's my
Did
man.
You really?
He's coaching at Marshall, I think, somewhere. He's coaching college football. Nah. Buffalo, I think.
Yeah, the jump pass was sweet, though, in 06, Crowder, when they brought him in. I randomly watched, like, Tim Tebow 2006 highlights a couple weeks ago. I don't know why. I was down a seriously weird rabbit hole that I think started with abstinence, by the way, on YouTube.
yeah, your crew.
Yeah.
all your people.
You know, it's a good point they make, you know, these abstinence people. No, but
oh man.
The jump pass was sweet. Anyways, my point being,
I used to drop off. Dallas is one of them. I don't care if I tell the story, he gets mad. I used to drop off about six guys to the high school in Gainesville to take classes during their tenure at University of Florida. And they'd be like, yeah, I had a car. They're like, hey, you drive us in the morning? I was like, yeah, where are y'all going? You're getting high school credits? Yeah, Crowder, you don't know. Bitch, I was already in high school. I don't want to go back to high school. Like, I'm getting college credits now. What? Where are y'all going? But I used to drive and be like 7 in the morning.
Nah. Then you'd go back to campus and take your interpretive dance class. What was it?
Hey, social dance. And social do you know how to foxtrot? Do you know how to waltz, Solana?
Twinkle Toes, Channing Crowder.
Do you know how to foxtrot?
Man, I'll do the tango on your ass, brother.
I can tango too.
Yeah, you can't tango.
I can tango.
You can't tango. I don't believe you. You can't tango.
It's quick, slow. Quick, slow. Quick, slow. I know the steps. I took it twice.
We should get the Miami Dolphins injury report tomorrow. That won't come out today. There's not any other big Dolphins news other than the fact that Tua will return this year. We found that out from Mike McDaniel yesterday. Hey, so was Javon Holland in a cast or not? Because Omar Kelly tweeted a picture that said, Javon Holland is not in a cast, good news, and it kind of just looked like a wrap. I don't know if either of you saw this video. But then David Fiorenz yesterday said, Javon Holland was at least through the practice session that was open to media, that part, that he was out there stretching and had a cast on. So I don't know for sure. Like, did you see the video, Crowder? Did it look like a cast to you, or no. Was it a wrap? I could send it to you.
Send it to me. What they're going to do is they're going to try to find the most protective thing that he can still utilize his fingers to catch.
Should he play?
Yes, he should. It's his hand. He's a football player.
Bro,
I want him to wear the club. I want him to wear a club on his hand.
I wore a club for like a month and a half, Josh. We've had this conversation. You're not golfing. You're not playing basketball. He can be a very efficient Pro Bowl level safety without five fingers.
I'm not asking Crowder, the football player, who would have ran through a wall to do anything to be out in the field. I'm asking now Crowder, a businessman, contract year for Javon Holland. He's actively searching for a contract. He just had a serious hand injury, obviously. I believe he had surgery on that hand. And now, less than 2 weeks later, why risk it playing with a club when the team hasn't played you yet?
Protect it enough where you can't injure it more. And they'll tell you that, like, hey, if it's right here, you can re-break it, whatever it was. And I don't know the extent of the injury. But, yeah, hand injury. If you're not a quarterback, wide receiver, you know, guy that's just handling the ball that much, what Javon Holland might touch a ball once a game, like, you can go play. And his little punch out is going to be stronger because it's a cast. He could punch the hell out of the ball with that cast.
As someone who's dealt with a hand injury similar to this before, had pins in my ring finger and pinky and then a permanent screw in my middle finger because I tripped in a ditch and fell while playing catch a few years ago, like 2018. As someone who's, you know, worked NFL games with an injury like that, I think Javon Holland can do it.
You were grown up?
Yeah.
You fell in the ditch.
Yeah. Next to a driveway. I tripped. Tried to break my fall. Broke three fingers. Had surgery.
It's like a grown man.
Yep.
Like so, paying taxes and falling in ditches.
That's right.
So, hold on. Let me hear it. Let me get this straight. You fell in a ditch.
Yep.
And needed to have surgery.
Yep. That's right.
Why would you do something like that?
We were playing catch with the football in front of the house. I was trying to be a little cutesy and go around the car and come out the front, and like I was running a route. And the car was parked close to the grass next to the driveway. So with my left foot, I stepped in a little ditch, and I tried to – you guys know me. I'm a good athlete. So I tried to regain my footing, and I fell backwards and put my right hand down to try and break the fall. And, you know, three broken fingers later in surgery. It was fun. Fun times. Here, I can show you my scar.
I like your scar. That's just nice. Solana, you tore your ACL playing grown man sports, right?
I did. Yeah, non-contact. I was playing basketball. Yeah, non-contact.
My injury was also non-contact.
But why do y'all take these grown man rec sports so serious? Like, you just kind of float around, you know?
Well, I can't speak for Rappel. I'm an athlete, Crowder. So, goodness, I mean, if I'm out... I was out on the hardwood. I mean, I'm hooping, you know?
That's so elitist athlete from Crowder, all right? Not everybody is gifted to go play in the league. Some of us reach a ceiling, whether it's intramurals or pickup games, and that's our Super Bowl. That's our NBA Finals. That's our World Series. And we want to take it seriously. We're going to take it seriously.
Appel, your World Series was playing catch in the front yard on a Sunday afternoon. A car was covering you. Can't even move. You got hurt by a stationary vehicle.
Well, around a stationary vehicle.
Yeah, well, I don't want to necessarily tie myself to the guy who fell in a ditch. So I would like to make my own statement, but I would like to remind everybody on this show that I was third team all day'd. So,
You weren't. There wasn't a third team, Solana. We've solidified this.
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover law firm, erroneous. Your weather from the Demesman and Dover law firm, call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com, free consultation 24/7. Right now in South Florida, partly cloudy. Hopefully that cold front actually comes through for tomorrow. And to the texter, 305-567-0560, you can always get involved with the show. To the texter who has sent us a reminder 19 times that there are 3 college football games tonight. Yes, sir. There are 3 college football games tonight, which means 3 opportunities for all of us to lose money. Troy is at South Alabama at 7:30. That's on ESPN2. Kennesaw State is at Middle Tennessee. That's at 8 p.m. And Louisiana Tech is at New Mexico State. That's at 9 p.m. on ESPNU. Troy is a 10.5-point dog on the road at South Alabama. Kennesaw State, 9.5-point dog on the road at Middle Tennessee. And Louisiana Tech is an 11.5-point favorite on the road at New Mexico State.
Ooh.
Might just parlay all the favorites. Josh told me that one time.
I'm kind of down. I'm actually kind of down. I had $0 in my account, though, so you let me know. I'll tell you, Crowder. I'll throw a little money in. I hope my fiance isn't all listening. But I'll throw a little money into the account right now.
You think I'm going to let you hold something?
Let me hold something, man.
No, Jack.
Jimmy, sell me $5.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Don't go anywhere. We will continue talking about things we don't know anything about.
Hawk and Crowder.
Let me do this.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Stock market report really quickly here. Forgot to do it at the top of the 4 o'clock hour there. It's brought to you by Miami Lakes Auto Mall, Kendall, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, home of the $8,000 trade. Kendall, Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram.com. So the stocks did fall today, Crowder and Appel. Dow Jones lost 333 points, S&P 500 down 0.9%, and the NASDAQ fell 1.3%. This does follow what was a huge rally that had them all at like record highs, so we're not feeling it that much, but not too much green today. Again, that is your
It's all relative. It's been green for this long.
Right. Right.
I'm down 0.5%. I don't like it.
All right. Sorry, bro. We'll get him back tomorrow, right? Isn't that what you always say?
I like it. Get him back tomorrow.
That's your stock market report. Let's get to 15 minutes of Game Day Uncensored. Obviously, talked about it all day. Bills get Amari Cooper. By the way, I never read the actual like parts of that trade. So the Bills get Amari Cooper and a 6th-round pick for next year. Browns get a 3rd-round pick in 2025, the upcoming draft, and a 7th-round pick in 2026. So the Bills kind of came away with a haul there. I mean, they gave up a 3rd-round pick and a 7th-round pick 2 years from now, and they get a 6th-rounder in return and Amari Cooper. That's a good trade.
Cheap. Right. Cheap for them, too.
Yeah.
I always look at it as the player you get. Would you find an Amari Cooper in the 3rd round next year? That is a low, low chance. So, yeah. And then, like you said, Josh brought up earlier where the contract that they're inheriting and all of that stuff. But Amari's not making stupid money compared to Amon St. Ra and Tyreek and those guys, CeeDee Lamb and those guys. So, yeah, I think the Bills got away with that one.
Amon St. Ra.
Amon St. What the hell is – I don't know his name.
Amon Ra St. Brown.
You were I'm in St. Really- Brown. I'm in Ram. Ramen noodles.
What'd he call him?
Amon St. Ra.
Amon St. Ra. Amon Joy Brown.
He can play, though. That little joker can play some football.
He's good, man. Crazy. Yeah. He ran a wheel route the other day. I saw
Love a wheel route.
What's his name? What's this guy on Twitter that – Baldy? Oh, Baldy's breakdowns are great, man.
Love a wheel route, and I love a Baldy breakdown.
Yeah, Baldy breakdown. He was talking about Amon Ra St. Brown. I think it was the last touchdown of the game. He ran a little wheel route right to the corner of the end zone, and Baldy was loving it, man.
I tell you, this might be a tangent. I don't know why the hell we got on it, but that damn Jameson Williams, I love him. He runs full speed. He's like, he's a little kid that just ate a bunch of sugar. He runs so fast at every time he can run. I love him. Picked him up on my fantasy team recently.
Crowder, were you able to like stomach watching the replay of Aiden Hutchinson's injury? I don't know if you guys talked about this yesterday.
You know what? I can because I saw the guy from Alabama. He works at a bank now. They had a 30 for 30 on him. He was a great receiver, and he broke his leg, and his bone stuck into the ground.
Ugh.
And then Jason Juergens, he was a guard. He was a nasty guard, too. He was nasty. He talked nasty to you. He stunk. He'd poke you in the eye and grab your crotch. He played for the Washington Commanders now, but when I played, they had a different name. And Zach Thomas went low on a running back and ended up clipping his calf, and his bone popped out of his skin, but the sock was on, the white with the bottom with the burgundy at top. And so he is soon, like the play wasn't even over yet. Zach just made the tackle. They haven't blown the whistle. He started screaming like a child that just got spanked. And we're on the field, and everybody's you know talking trash. Man, shut up, you! Yeah, da, 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 da. And then you look down, and you saw the blood just spreading over the entire white part of his sock. And then it clicked that, oh, his bone is sticking out of his leg. So I think the Aiden Hutchinson injury kind of has been desensitized in my mind after seeing those two.
Oh, I'm getting squeamish like listening to you describe that. I avoided the video of Hutchinson's injury for so long, and then I saw the one still screenshot of his leg wrapped around whoever's other leg he collided with.
Yeah.
Done. Hate it.
You see, I know you – what about – what was that? LT and Theismann?
Yeah.
You saw that video? That's a nasty one too, yeah. You know, it's just football.
It's just hockey.
It's just football.
Jimmy had told me yesterday, you know, like the worst injury he's probably ever seen, and I think I'm with him. Remember Kevin Ware in the NCAA tournament? Yeah. I mean, everybody saw that too on national TV. Like, everybody saw dude's entire bone sticking out of his leg. Anyway,
my leg hurts.
We don't have to keep diving into the details. But Crowder, thank you very much for sharing those beautiful scenes from the NFL.
Yeah, it was nasty. Justin Juergens, something.
Yeah, you're great with names, so I'm guessing that's probably – it's probably like Jeremy Smith.
Yeah, probably. It was two J's, though. I remember that. Nasty guard. Everybody hated him. I think he, like, snitched on one of his teammates for taking steroids or something. People hated him.
Nice.
15 minutes, a game day uncensored, is brought to you by the Lexus RX, the luxury SUV for those who never want to lose their edge. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer. CBSSports.com, they have put together a case for several different sub-500 teams that still have a chance to make the playoffs. Now, they add the actual playoff projection percentage, which is courtesy of Sportsline. So I'm going to read you what teams that are below 500 right now, they feel still have a chance to make the playoffs. The first one is obvious, the Cincinnati Bengals. They're 2-4. Right now, they have the Dolphins at 2-3. They have the New York Jets at 2-4 as well. And then they have the Los Angeles Rams and the New Orleans Saints. The Rams are 1-4. The Saints are 2-4. Do you guys want to guess which team of those that I just listed have the lowest percentage chance of making the postseason still?
The Rams with all the injuries.
Yeah. Rams have only a 4% chance, according to this article.
Because Cup is out, Puka Nacua. Yeah, they have nobody.
Everybody's out for the Rams.
Yeah.
All right. You want to guess who's second on the list with the second lowest odds of making the playoffs?
Fins.
Appel?
All right, probably the Dolphins.
Yeah, the Dolphins, according to this, have a 7.3% chance of making the playoffs. Here's what they write. As always, it all comes down to Tua Tagovailoa's health. It may or may not be wise for the Pro Bowl quarterback to take the field again after his latest extended absence due to head trauma, but with Mike McDaniel now publicly anticipating the signal caller's return, there's a relatively clear path toward a reverse of fortunes in Miami. Their electric perimeter weapons in Hill and Waddle have both been proven impactful, and when Tua Tagovailoa is at the helm, there's still big game hurdles to be cleared for McDaniel's timing-based attack. More downfield power would make them a much tougher out.
I'm tired of this condescension from these media types who are like so shocked that Tua Tagovailoa is going to come back and play after this. It's just because the image they have, like, Joe Burrow's played, I think I saw this stat over the weekend. Joe Burrow, over the course of his career, has only played in 3 more games than Tua Tagovailoa. I don't know if you saw some of the hits that he takes, especially on Sunday night. It's just the way that it happens with Tua. Like, it was obvious from the start. If he came back 2 years ago from all those concussions, he's going to come back this year from these concussions, right? And I think we can all agree that this concussion was bad, but not nearly as bad as the one that, like, he walked off the field. He was always going to come back from this. So, like, this condescension from all these national media types that I'm seeing, oh, well, it looks like Tua's going to play. And Mike McDaniel, yeah, of course, he was always going to come back. It was never not going to be done.
Josh, there were 24 concussions in the NFL last week. Devon Achane had a concussion last week.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's surprised he's going to play. He practiced. Okay, good. Okay, Devon, get out there. Tua's been out a damn month, Appel, and they're still talking about, well, I guess he's going to play. It is the optics of what his concussions look like.
Definitely. That's all it is.
That's what it is.
That's a big thing. I get it, but it's all optics. It's not based on anything. These people who don't examine the guy's brain are trying to make these decisions for him. Let the guy consult with his neurologist and go from there. Nobody else is privy to this except for him.
I agree.
Did you see Chris Olave's concussion?
He's had a bunch, too. He's had multiple concussions, too.
Well, bro, he jumped up in the end zone. He was falling backwards. The DB kind of grabbed his chest. He landed head first after running full speed 40 yards, jumping up in the air, and the first thing to hit was his upper shoulders and his head. Boom. But after he hit, he set up. He took his helmet off, and he started shaking his head. They came and walked him off the field, and he was still dizzy.
I did Cardinals-Packers this weekend, and Marvin Harrison Jr., on a harmless slant over the middle, gets up and immediately wobbles and goes down, and he's out for the game with a concussion. Like, it happens, unfortunately. It's just the sport. And Marvin Harrison will be back.
None of them have their hands tense up and their toes cross and their body lock up after they have a concussion. That's why people continue this crap. I think we talked about it yesterday or last week. That's why they do this, because the look of it, Josh. It got me. I'm the tighten up, you know, you just shut up.
Rub
your
some
football
dirt on
player.
It. Take some smelling salts.
Hit me with a smile. In the Saints game, LaCharles Bentley knocked me to sleep. They had to smell salt me to get me up. I said, back on the bench, they had to smell salt me again because I was dozing off. And they said, defense up. I jumped up, ran out there. I don't remember the next quarter. That's where I come from. The Tua stuff looks crazy to me.
I'm agreeing with what both of you were saying about Tua coming back. I didn't think he should go on the IR. We've talked about this. But I will say, the conversation isn't a dumb one when considering the actual context of his return. For example, if the Dolphins do lose this upcoming week at Indianapolis, and I wanted to get more into that, but we'll do it tomorrow, because I actually think they have a chance to win. But if they do lose, they're 2-4, depending on what else happens in the division. I mean, I'm cool with Tua coming back. I think he will, no matter what at this point. But does it make sense? If your playoff chances are slim, anything can happen. I'm with you guys. I get it. But does it make sense if he's going to continue being the QB of the future to risk him being on the field when your actual chances of A, being in the playoffs are slim, and B, even if you make the wild card, let's be real, fellas, this team's not beating the Chiefs when healthy. They're not beating the Bills when healthy. At least I don't think so. They're not beating some of the premier teams in the AFC.
Hard to argue because we haven't seen him do it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't know if it's worth it is all I'm saying.
The 08 Dolphins that won the AFC East that I was on, because I knew it was something I had to look it up. I just looked it up. We were 2-4 going into the game playing at home against Buffalo, and we ended up being 11-5. We lost one more game the rest of the season.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is the adjustments and the simplification that Mike McDaniel's going to make to this offense is the Wildcat.
I'm not saying that, Josh. I'm just saying that a 2-4 team can go 11-5 because I was a part of one of them.
And what happened in the first round of the playoffs in the wild card round?
Ed Reed is a Hall of Famer, and he ruined my life.
Exactly.
Chad Pennington, man. Ugh.
Exactly.
This Chad, you know, I remember being at that game and thinking, all right, it's only two possessions like this. They might be able to come back here. And then Pennington threw like his third pick of the day. And I'm like,
you can't
this was supposed to be the team.
Josh, he couldn't see that little bow-legged dude standing in the middle of the field. It's Ed Reed. Don't throw over there by him.
5 o'clock, Funky Buddha Happy Hour is coming up on the other side. That's Crowder's 11-5 Dolphins, man. Get to the playoffs.
2-4. I'm looking at it now. 2-4.
Not you make a good point, but I you know, hope you're right, man. I'll tell you what. You want to talk about one hell of a story? Tua coming back, leading this team to their first playoff win in 24 years. I mean, that would be legendary, bro. Really would. All right, 5 o'clock hour is coming up here on the Hockman and Crowder Show. Don't go anywhere. Still a lot to get to. More Hockman and Crowder next.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog, here.
Hawk and Crowder.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.